Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 again. We're going to look again, a deeper look at the Lord's Prayer, part 3 tonight. We want to get through this. And this has been an interesting study. You know, I've been challenged to revisit this whole thing when Brother Borg brought it out at the camp meeting on the 8 o'clock morning services. I only heard two of them that he had. He ministered for 3 days, but I heard about one and a half, one and three quarter of his messages dealing with this subject, and it really got me to look deeper into it myself. And we got to look at, you know, that prayer for one is a privilege for the child of God. You and I can communicate and talk to deity. We can talk to the very one who created everything there is that is created. We can talk to the one who created the heavens and the stars and the universe above. And all those stars calls them all by name. Every one of them is known by the Lord and has a name tag on it. Amen. And that God has designed you and I, a human being. Look how intricate the body, human body is. Just all of its systems, how it works together, and then it's given intelligence besides that. At least most human beings, not all, but yeah, given intelligence. But think about that. God designed that with his pen. Designed it out, mapped it out, and built it. Amen? And I think if he can build a human being, if he can put the universe together, if he can create heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land, if he can create the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom and the insect kingdom, everything that has to do with the fish and the sea, you know, don't you think he can manage our life? Don't you think he's worthy of taking a little look at here and realizing that he can direct me, he can guide me, he can help me, and he knows the end from the beginning? Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you really think about that, the vastness, the awesomeness of our God, the one we love, the one we serve. See, no other faith system or religious system in the world can claim what we claim as Christians. We serve a living God who is alive. Amen. And one who loves us. One who doesn't tell us to murder people to gain his favor and to guarantee our place in heaven. See, you know, it's a God of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6 tonight, we'll begin in verse 5. We're just going to read this through again, and we'll get a little deeper into this tonight. And when you pray, Jesus is speaking, you shall not be like the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them. For your Father knows what things you have need of before you even ask him. But after this manner, therefore, pray you. In other words, pray like this. This is what you do. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours, Lord, or thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. A deeper look at the Lord's Prayer, part 3 tonight. Let's go before the Lord and ask his blessing. Father, again, we're just thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We're thankful that you have brought out as many as that came tonight, Lord, and we so appreciate that. And it's our heart tonight that every individual in this house will sense the Spirit of God, will sense your presence in an intimate, deep way, Lord. Father, bless those that are viewing on live stream and wherever this message goes, Lord, that your anointing be upon it. We need help tonight. We need help from heaven, help from you, Lord. And Father, just make all things and all grace abound in your time and in your way, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just kind of laying again the foundation, walking through this a little bit. It's just good to just rehearse a little bit. But really, as we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer and that realizing that this isn't something that we just pray repetitious or verbatim per se, but it's really an outline. It's a pattern that Jesus had laid out that when you're going to talk to your Father in heaven and commune with him, he said, first thing you do, learn to just shut in with him for one thing. Get into a place where you will have few interruptions, few distractions. That's why he said, when you pray, enter into your closet. Now, that closet is just that place where you hide away. That closet may be your car. It may be the garage. It may be the bathroom. It may be your bedroom. It may be your living room. It may be wherever that place where you can be alone and talk to the Lord without fear of being overheard or being interrupted, and sometimes even put the cell phone away. I just found this, you know, I don't know, I get in this habit, but I try to always keep my cell phone by me. And sometimes even when I'm talking to the Lord, I'll have it sitting on the end table, and sure enough, you get into a really good time when you're really feeling that your heart is being moved by prayer and by the Lord. A text message will come, or it'll beep, or it'll ring, or something like that. Or the dog gets restless and wants to play all of a sudden. It just seems no matter what, that's why Jesus said, so when you pray, when you're going to talk to your Father, remember, this is divine business. This is something where you're talking to deity, the living God. And it's like a board meeting. You're coming together to commune with God, to have fellowship with him. But more than anything, you're having a meeting with God. Amen? Treat it as serious as a board meeting, because your day is going to probably hinge upon your results of your communing with the Lord before your day really gets going too heavy. Amen? And understand too, when do we pray? When is it a time to pray? Well, probably earlier the better. But listen, sometimes the alarm goes off and you're running a little late, or you're a little overtired, or you got things happening, or the kids need attention, got to get them off to school or whatever. But, when before your day gets too far down the road, just try to find a little time with the Lord. And sometimes just a few minutes if need be. But at least, it's better to have more time with God, but at least have a few minutes with God. And I'll guarantee, once you start connecting with the Lord just a few minutes at a time, you'll want more time with him. So it's really not this thing about how much quantity of prayer or how many minutes or hours. I mean, when I was new in the Lord, my zeal was there. We were just taught you got to pray 2 to 3 hours a day if you ever want to be used to the Lord. Okay, I will. And so just naive and just kind of simple. You believe what you're taught, and now you're trying to get this massive prayer life going because the preacher's always telling you everybody that God uses has got a 3-hour-a-day prayer life, And I used to wonder, don't those people have jobs? Don't those people work? Don't they have kids and family? Don't they have responsibilities? Don't they, as the years went by, you're afraid to say anything about it because you just didn't want to question it because they must know, But the bottom line is, it's not so much the quantity, it's your quality of prayer. It's just getting with the Lord, even those few minutes a day, just to acknowledge him. And I'll be honest with you, even if you just repeat the Lord's Prayer from your heart, you're going to get something out of it. You will talk to the Lord, amen? Like I shared with you before I was even saved, I found myself as a sinner. I would pray that at night, every time I go to bed at night. I don't know, I was just always feared hell or something that, and I always had like a type of faith towards God, but it wasn't really a saving faith. It was more like a Cornelius faith, that Cornelius of old in Acts chapter 10, remember? He did alms before the Lord, gave money to the synagogue, and he would do things because he was interested in the God of the Jews, but he didn't know him personally, so he was just doing what he knew to do. And then God sent an angel to Peter, and Peter went and explained the gospel to him, and then he could believe upon Christ, and then the Holy Spirit fell, and God moved, and they got saved. Amen. So a lot of us in our upbringing, there's a belief towards God, a belief in God. We've been Christianized. We've been given a philosophy of Christianity, or even the gospel in simple fact, but we didn't really know how to believe on Jesus Christ unto salvation. Amen? So God sees that heart, and God is drawing us through those years. God is trying to get our attention, like he was getting the attention of the house of Cornelius well before Peter would ever come there and preach the gospel. I remember times when I was probably 12 years old, my grandmother taking us to church, and for the first time in my life, behind that old 73 Impala of Grandpa's, I remember feeling in that parking lot. I remember it. I can see it in my mind as I'm telling you. I can look back and realize what it was, but I felt the presence of the Lord for the first time as I stood behind that car as we were going to go up into that old denominational church there. And as the years would go, I just would have these little premonitions, these little experiences where it was like The Lord was drawing my heart. He was dealing with me, but I was sensing his presence, but yet I didn't identify it as that, you know. But it took till I was about 25 before God had me to a place where I was ready to repent of my sin and turn to him, amen. So there was a lot of groundwork God had to put in my heart. But since my true salvation, there's always been that desire to talk to the Lord, to pray, to seek his face, to want to know him more. And I have to believe, like the child being born into the world out of the mother's womb, within a few moments has that desire to be nourished and fed from the mother. There's that desire when you were born again to be nourished from the Father, to talk to God. Amen. That desire is there. That inward bend towards communication towards God. And friend, honestly, I've read books on prayer years gone by and everything, and they all have good things to say. But I'll be honest with you with prayer. Nobody can really teach you how to pray. You just got to kind of bump and bruise through it and kind of develop your own little time, your own little way of communing with the Lord. But Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer here, has given us a pattern, and he's helping us out. Because some people don't know what to say to God, how to commune with God. We just don't know. We're flesh. We're human beings. We're not spiritual until the Lord moves on us by his Spirit. But even then, we still have to learn how to talk to God, how to pray effectively. Amen? And I think that's what we all want tonight. We all want an effective prayer life. To know that I'm being heard, to know there's communion going on between the Lord and I, and to know that my heart is being unburdened before him, and that he's concerned about me, and he's hearing me, and I get encouragement when he gives me his peace. Amen? Some people will tell you in prayer, you know, it's almost like a two-way dialogue. I'll be honest with you, some of that stuff gets a little far out, you know, like, oh, God's always talking to my, you know, oh, really, he's always talking, you know. In a way, he is, but in a way, he's not. It's not like dialogue. You know how many people, being a pastor, have said that, you know, they tell us, or this preacher will say, you know, it's almost like they're sitting down and they're just having this talk with God, and God's talking back to them almost in an audible voice, you know. And so when you go to do that, that don't happen that way, and you think something's wrong with you. You know, and so even through the years, I've tried to be careful. How do I bring this out to make, so I'm bringing it out in a real practical way, but not trying to sound hyper spiritual or in a way that doesn't work, you know, that it's all hype because it should be this way, but it's not this way. You know, bottom line, prayer is a struggle. Prayer is a struggle. And there's many times, if you pray based on feeling, you're not going to get too far. Amen? You know, we don't like that when we pray and we don't feel nothing. You hear terminology like, boy, I don't feel like the heavens are brass and I can't, you know, it's like I didn't connect with God. Well, who said you didn't connect with God? You're looking for the emotion of that, okay? And don't get me wrong, I love the emotion of it. But there are times God will withdraw the consciousness of his presence just so you and I get into the habit of praying without having to feel like he was there or wasn't there. His word says if we pray to the Father in Jesus' name, God hears us. Amen? Amen. And to prove the point, how many of you will, under certain circumstances, get a little flustered and something will come out of your mouth you shouldn't? And all of a sudden, oof, God heard me. Why is it you know God hears you then, but when you go to the Father in Jesus' name, you're like, I don't think God hears me. Think about it. See how Satan plays with our mind? You know what I'm saying? You know, when you do a little something, a little blip or something, boy, you know God's right on you, you know. But, you go to pray, so I don't know if God's hearing me or not. No, he is hearing you. Amen. But we're not praying in emotion. So Jesus teaches us to get alone, sneak away, hide in a corner, wherever that is that's between you and the Lord, but get in that little place that you can talk to him. Amen. Used to be when I worked at John Deere, that prayer time was that half-hour drive. You know, in the car, you know, and such. And so, you know, just find that place, but talk to him. Pray to him. Amen? Amen. And don't base it on feeling. The feelings will come and go. The emotions will come and go. There are times you'll feel the glory of God fill your heart, that little room you're in. But we're not to pray based on whether I feel that or don't feel it. Jesus just said, pray. and get into your closet and shut the door. And then he teaches us that if we do start connecting with God and start talking to the Lord, all of a sudden he promises something. He said the one that does that, communes with the Lord, there'll start to be some open rewards that'll start showing up in your life as you commune with the Lord. The open reward. The greatest thing, I think, and we covered this last couple of weeks, is that peace you feel. Your heart now unburdened. You felt that you did talk to the Lord, and you just feel that peace that surpasses all understanding. Things start working out better. Your day may go better. You feel the grace of God on you, like all day long, just like things were working out. Or when the difficult circumstance came, it was like, boy, you just didn't overreact to it. There was just like a solemnness to be able to deal with it and get through with it without coming unglued and coming apart. Amen? Or things start happening, like prayer starts being answered. Things start happening. Doors start opening. Amen? Divine appointments, we call them, just seem to be more frequent. The open reward. Amen? The joy on your countenance. I mean, you know what Satan hates? Do you realize Herod the Great, in the time of the persecutions in the early church, tradition tells us that Herod, literally, that particular Herod went insane, because what he would do is he would have Christians arrested when the persecutions were setting in, and he would have Christians tied to wooden beams or wooden posts in his garden along the pathway, and they would drench them in an oil and light them on fire. And that would be the light for his night walk through the garden. And he eventually went insane because the grace of God on these martyrs, he couldn't take their joy away. He couldn't take their joy. You can bet those men in prison, those women in prison, were calling on the Lord for deliverance or something. Amen. The open reward is that when, even when God was calling them home, they went out in a blaze of glory. Literally speaking. I know we don't like to hear that, but, you know, think about it. You know, that open reward, the grace to go through some difficult things without coming apart. Amen? See, this is all part of the open reward, and this is what Jesus is encouraging us. He said if we shut in with God, we talk to the Father in Jesus' name, he said there will be some open rewards. And so what we're really trying to encourage the body of Christ and all of us here at Promise Land is that we all develop a prayer life. A communion with the Lord, a time that we get together with God, and that we talk to Jesus, we talk to God the Father. So Jesus teaches us the correct way to prayer as an outline. He said, after this manner, so pray like this. And remember, it's not so much a prayer meant for repetition, but it's an outline, it's a model. And then we began here when he said, our Father which art in heaven. And we talked about the fatherhood of God. You have a Father that knows your name. Amen? My Father in heaven. I have a Father beyond my earthly father. And I've loved my earthly dad. My earthly dad had his issues. But you know what? I love them anyway. But beyond my dad and his shortcomings, I have a heavenly Father now who took me up where my dad left off. Amen? And is superintending, presiding over my life. You know, and I want us to understand this tonight. So Jesus teaching us how to pray to the Father. He says, our Father in heaven. He's Jesus' Father too. Amen. Even though Jesus is part of the Trinity, now that Jesus has an earthly body, a fleshly body that was raised from the dead, Jesus will ever be in that glorified body. He'll never be in the same physical condition. Is that the right way to put it? That he was prior to his becoming a man, born of flesh. He's in a different form, but yet he's deity. But yet he refers to him as our Father. So the same Father Jesus in his earthly sojourn prayed to, you and I are praying to that same one. When you read about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, great drips of blood start sweating through his skin, and you know he was in a great agony. That God that he was talking, his Father, is the same one that I go to when I get up with my cup of coffee, sit on my couch, and I say, my Father in heaven. The same one. I'm talking to the same one that you're reading about that Jesus talked to when he stole away at night and prayed till morning. Amen? The same one that met Moses on the mountain. The same one that was the God of David. The same one. The same Father. We have a Father tonight. Amen? And so understand that just by you putting faith in Christ and maintaining faith in that sacrifice, that shed blood, God is your Father. And it's the same one we read of in the Scripture, and the same one Jesus prayed to is the same one we pray to. That's why Jesus said, say, our Father. Amen. He's individually your Father, spiritually speaking, but He's also corporately our Father, including of the patriarchs, of the saints of old, of the apostles of old, and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the same God. Amen. And then He said, hallowed be Thy name, which refers to the holiness of God. You know, don't you think in the body of Christ and in the house of God today, there's a lack of the reverence of the holiness of the Lord? Don't you think there is? Amen. You know, with the world being invited into the church and some things that go on in the house of God, you know, I feel this, the house of God is to be a holy place. Amen? A holy place. They tell us this, and if Liz and I have heard this a dozen times, we'd be lying. But we have people that will visit this place. And I believe this all in my heart. When there's a reverence for God, hallowed be Thy name, and that is from the heart, and that church feels that from the heart, not in a false pious way, not in a false humility way, but I do believe that God does sanctify properties and buildings and houses and cars. And you say, boy, Pastor, where are you going with this? God lives in this building. We know that. God don't dwell in this building on Spalding Street. But when something is of the Lord and belongs to God, which includes you, your possessions, your children, your domain, your dwelling, where you live, if you're sanctified unto the Lord and there's a reverence for God, God will sanctify the natural things that you're part of. And we've heard this dozens of times since we've started this work. People will say they'll walk in that foyer and they feel the presence of God. You know, and I'm not making that up. You say, well, I don't feel it. Well, maybe your feeler's broke. Amen. 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 We can get dull of hearing. We can get pretty apathetic at times because we get so in the routine of things, or something becomes so familiar it loses its excitement, you know. But God is never to lose that reverence and excitement. The point being, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Whatever is hallowed to the Lord, God will endorse it by His presence. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why when you say, you know, I drive to work and I pray that half hour going to work. Do you realize the cab of that vehicle is a cathedral? And angels of God are nearby and God is there? Amen. That's a sanctified thing if you ask me. You know, can you prove it in other scripture? The Bible says when there's a believer and there's an unbeliever in the same house, and that unbeliever is willing to live and put up with the believer's God and the believer's way, that unbeliever is sanctified to the Lord, not meaning they're saved, but God will bless that individual. God will bless that household for the sake of the believing one. Or to be hell on earth, to live where there's an unsaved person, and that contrast. Now, sometimes there's conflict, don't get me wrong. You know, but the point being, there's a sanctification. And sanctification means set apart to God. You know, so when Jesus is telling us, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, you're segregating, you're separating God from all the others. This one is hallowed, this one's holy, this one is almighty. He's not like the rest. There's a sanctification thing here. Amen? Hallelujah. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And that reverence, you know, your and my reverence for God shows up in our demeanor. It'll show up in our character. It'll show up in our language. It'll show up in our common talk. It'll show up in our spirit. And it'll show up on our countenance. If there's a reverence for the Lord in your life, That's why Jesus said, just didn't say, well, pray to the Father in my name. He said it in some other places, but hear what the Lord's Prayer is saying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, you are to be reverenced. You are different than all the rest. You are sanctified in my heart and in my life. You are holy. The angels of God worship you 24/7. The seraphim fall at your feet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, and really it's telling us in heaven there's no time. It's just constant. That these beings are going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And so understand, we got to have that reverence. Amen. And that's what Jesus was teaching. So hallowed be thy name. So he said, thine kingdom come. Now you're asking for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God to come is a petition. It's an invitation. It's really a call to arms. We have to understand that in this world, the power of Satan reigns and the spirit of the Antichrist and the powers and principalities of the air that Paul talked about in Ephesians. We got to realize that God's kingdom is to move into this earth realm, but first in the hearts of people. Amen? Thy kingdom come. You know, and we talked about how we're even to pray that, thy kingdom come. You know, we brought this up last week and it bears repeating. How do you pray for loved ones, lost loved ones? How do you pray for people? How do you pray for that stinker that you deal with all the time that has no heart for God, no desire for God, and he kind of mocks your God? You know what you pray for that person? Lord, let your kingdom come on Billy Bob. You know what I'm saying? Let your kingdom come. How about those wayward children? Lord, let your kingdom come unto them. How about your church? Let your kingdom come. Let it come. It's an invitation. It's asking the Lord to move into the earth realm, to move into places where he would normally go. But God has chosen to use prayer as a channel. In other words, God will move upon invitation. And it's also kind of shown in Scripture that without invitation, he doesn't move. That's why you would read scriptures like, if you ask not, or he that hath not is, or you have not because you ask not. It tells us that maybe if there would be an invitation, if you would be asking, then God would be doing something. God has designed this thing, and he has really given us a tremendous responsibility with prayer. I think this is why Jesus has given the outline. You know, you have a Father in heaven. He's worthy of worship and prayer and adoration. But now, oh, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Amen. Those unsaved loved ones, I'm telling you, if you can hear whatever this preacher's trying to say tonight, pray, God, let your kingdom come to them. Let your kingdom knock at their heart's door. Lord, don't let them sleep at night. Let your kingdom come. Open their eyes like my eyes were open a number of years ago. How did you get saved out of darkness? How did you come to saving faith? You and I who were heathen. You and I who were in churchianity but didn't know Christ. You and I who were deep in sin, who could care less about being born again. God got through to you at a certain time, didn't he? You know why he came to you? God's kingdom came near to your life. And you started responding as the kingdom of God drew near to your life and heart. Amen? Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Amen. I'm telling you, let your kingdom come. I pray that for my children. I pray that for my daughters. I pray for my sons. You know, and it's not a repetition prayer. I mention their name and God, let your kingdom come to them. I pray for my wife that way. She prays for me, I think, that way. Amen? At least I think so because prayer is private. Let your kingdom come unto Elizabeth, Lord. Let it come that she sees your full purpose for her life. You know, the kingdom come isn't just for the unsaved. It's for the saved. Lord, let there be a greater revelation of your will, your purpose. Let your kingdom draw near. Amen. Amen. And now you can see why Jesus, I would say if this is the pattern, it's probably, we don't really read all the prayers of Jesus in John 17. I think there's one, a few other times, just some glimpses. But you know, for the most part, I believe he prayed like this. When he's in his earthly ministry, Lord, let your kingdom come to Israel. Lord, let this nation open their eyes that they may see that I'm their Messiah that they've been waiting for. God, let your kingdom come unto Israel. You know, I would think he would have prayed something like that. And you and I need to pray, God, let your kingdom come. Let it come, let it come, let it come. You're having a rough day, you're going through a struggle, you feel God is a million miles away. Lord, let your kingdom come here. Let your kingdom come near my heart. Let your kingdom come into my life today, Lord. Let your kingdom, because what is the kingdom of God? Everything God has. It's everything God has. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when you're blessed and God answers a prayer, that's the kingdom coming near and giving you a benefit, giving you an added blessing to your life today. When the Holy Spirit moves in your life, that's the kingdom of God, part of the kingdom of God moving in your life. That's an act of the Godhead on your behalf. Think about that. Amen. That's an act of the Godhead on your behalf. Little old you and me. Amen. Think about it. So thy kingdom come, then thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. A brother brought this up last week. You know, that word in earth means dust. It means the elements. Not only the kingdom of God come into the earth realm, but this dust. Amen. Let your kingdom come into this dust. Let it dwell in my life and in my heart. But then he said, let your will be done. Let your will be done. We brought it out this way, that the will of God is seldom done, but the plan of God will always be accomplished. Amen. You think it's God's will that we're murdering 1.2 million a year, roughly, through abortion? Is that God's will is not being done there? Amen. Do you think to overtax a culture of people is the will of God? No, it's not. Do you think man's inhumanity to man is the will of God? Well, let's take it into the Christian realm. Is it the will of God that you and I do some of the things we do from day to day that we know aren't right? So God's will isn't always done, is it, in our life? Is it? So Jesus is saying, when you're praying, you know, ask the will of God to be done, like it is in heaven. There's no disobedience in heaven. None. The only disobedience that was there, a third of the angels fell, and Lucifer received the sentence of judgment. And there's some evidence that they still have access to heaven, probably just the lobby. They're not actually enjoying the streets of gold, but there's an entrance place to heaven that they're allowed to come and talk to God. But one day, the Bible says, Revelation, they'll be cast out of heaven. And Satan knows he has a short time. But the will of God, the will of God, God has a will, a desire for our life on a daily basis, a daily basis. And when you and I take that time, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Whose will? Whose will? Does that sound self-serving? No. Why? Do you know the will of God for you is good? It's a good will. It's a good desire. Amen? And so, let your will be done on earth, in earth, as it is always in heaven. That is a right prayer. That's a right petition. That's part of this outline that Jesus talked about. You and I need to be asking to know the will of God. Paul even prayed that for the church at Ephesus, that you would know the knowledge of his will in all things. Amen. I need to know the mind of the Lord, the will of God. But I want his will done in my life. But to do that, you have to abandon yourself to his lordship. That it's his will be done, not mine. And I have a will. Do you know Jesus had a will? Do you know when he prayed in Gethsemane and he sweat drops of blood? That was a battle of his will. His humanity didn't want to go hang and be punished and tortured on that cross. The pain of it. Was there another way? Is there another way, Father? And great drops of blood, angels finally had to strengthen him. It was a battle of his will to go to that cross or not. Is there another way, another pathway? Nevertheless, thy will be done. That's how he ended that. It was a battle in this prayer, I believe, too. You know, your will be done, Lord. Amen. Amen. What is God's will? That you follow him. that you be obedient to him, that you put your faith in Christ, and that you look to that shed blood. That's his will. And out of that will come direction, will come leading and guidance. Amen? Praise the Lord. So thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, give us this day our daily bread. We're going to cover this point tonight. We'll call her a night here. And just so you know, too, the next two Wednesdays we won't be gathering because it'll be holidays, okay? So, and the Christmas program is this Sunday morning at, okay. So, praise the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. I'll take just a few moments here. The language in this verse does show us the daily need for praying and asking. He said, this day our daily bread. This day. Let me ask you a question this morning, and I'm asking me too, so we're all in the same category. Did you go to God today and ask him, this day, give me that what I need from you, Lord? Did you go to God today? You don't have to answer, but I want you to ponder this. Today, it's a daily thing. He said this, he didn't say this month, this year, this week, this decade. He said, give us this day. This day, my daily bread. See, and that shows us if we're praying or not, if we're talking to the Lord. Do we go to God every day? Like Jesus said, enter into your closet. How often am I supposed to pray? Well, he said daily. Daily. And this is what he said here. Give us this day our daily bread. We're to be asking this day what we need daily. We see the daily dependence we are to have upon God and his daily provision. Food for thought, the children of Israel were fed manna daily. Their clothing never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. They were in the will of God. They were coming out of Egypt. They were getting ready to be prepared to go into the land of promise that God had promised them from the foundation of the world. And so being in the divine providential will of God, even though they didn't like it, even though a first generation fell away and died as carcasses in that wilderness, and the second generation was the generation that went in, God said, he told them in Deuteronomy 29, that says, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes were not waxing old upon you. Your shoe is not waxing old upon your feet. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. In other words, they ate what God had supplied them. You didn't drink what you used to in Egypt. Amen. And when you were in that wilderness, there were no shoe stores, no clothing stores. There was no place to go and buy vigils, buy food. But I fed you for 40 years. I clothed you for 40 years. Nothing wore out. Nothing got dirty. Nothing got old. Your shoes are as fresh as they were the first day you put them on. There was a daily provision for the children of Israel in that wilderness. Well, what does that have to do with daily bread today? It has a lot to do. Under the grace of the new covenant, there will be a constant resupply of all things from the hand of the Lord. It doesn't mean my shoes don't wear out. It doesn't mean my clothing don't wear out. But by the grace of God, God will provide a way that I can constantly have fresh shoes, have a new pair of clothing when I need it. Amen. I'm waiting for my newer car. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's going to be a new provision. But this is the beauty of the grace of God. Every day, the inward man is being renewed by day as the outward man is perishing day by day. Paul was saying in this grace thing, there's always a renewing. There's always a resupply. Do you need patience? You need love? You need mercy? You need forbearance? You need strength? God will, moment by moment, by the grace of God, resupply. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Why? It's a resupply. But where does that supply come from? How does that grace work? You know, when I need a new pair of shoes, will the funds be there to buy the new shoes? In the kingdom of God, when he draws near, and when you're praying and you're asking, when it's time for new shoes, you'll have a supply for new shoes. And you and I might look at that as petty, but if you were in a third world country right now, a new pair of shoes would do them good. Well, what about them? Is it for them too? Listen, I've heard stories, And I've heard testimonies of missionaries that have gone into these impoverished third world areas. But as those people would start coming to Christ one by one, and they could hardly scrape together a few handful of corn kernels to feed their family, they were taught that if you give back to God and remember God and give Him the tenth, in other words, you got 10 kernels of corn in your hand, take one of them and give it to the Lord. Guess what happened? All of a sudden, they started having 15 and 20 kernels of corn. All of a sudden, the chickens started laying 3 or 4 more eggs a day, more than they used to be laying. All of a sudden, the rains were coming a little more often, and the ground was becoming more fertile, and the crops were starting to grow. Amen? You see, don't tell me that just because you're in a third world place that God doesn't bless. No, He does bless, and He'll raise up and bless. In fact, there's a country or a city right now down in Peru. Jim Woosley could tell you all about it, but when they took the gospel there some 35, 40 years ago, it was one of those impoverished places, and they were all drunks. He said that it was terrible, but the gospel got preached, and these people started getting saved, and little by little, they started giving to God and started being blessed by God. Right now, he said it's one of the most booming areas of the country to this day. And there are corporations and businesses, and there's a universal blessing going on there. Because why? God raises those people out of that. God is always resupplying by His grace. Amen. So when we look at this little old thing Jesus tells us to do, give us this day our daily bread, there's always a resupply of all things from the hand of the Lord. You got to understand as a believer that everything comes to you and I from the hand of God. As a believer, I got to readjust my understanding to that. You and I, if you think you did it, all your good talents and ability got you that new promotion, that new job, that situation, your lot in life, all by your hand, good luck, because it's ready to go bye-bye until God opens your eyes. Amen. Everything you and I have is from the extended hand of God, including your children, your spouse, your vitality, your life, your health. Amen. Your talents, your grace, your ability, whatever, that's all from the Lord. And you got to understand that as a child of God. Because if you don't understand that, then you got the mindset of the world, and it's a dog-eat-dog world. In other words, just like Nebuchadnezzar of old in the time of Daniel, it's my great power and wisdom and glory that the kingdom is the way it is right now. And God drove him to teach him to humble his rear end. Amen? Pardon the expression, but it's the way it is. And God humbled that man to where feathers grew on him for 7 years. He was living like a madman, an animal out in the field, out in the grass. And then Nebuchadnezzar, after the end of that, when God returned his wisdom to him, he said, it was God, those that are lifted up in pride, God is able to abase. Amen? Amen. God knows what to do when he's got to do it to get a person to see that you are what you are because of the hand of the Lord, not yourself. Amen. That's why Paul would even say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he that's going to glory, let him glory in the Lord. You're going to glory about something? You're going to boast about something? You're going to brag about something? Then glory in the Lord. This strike thing we're doing, I was talking to the fellow that got the thing going. And he said, boy, what would you be doing? I talked to him about 2-3 days ago. What would you be doing if it wasn't for this strike thing, you know? And I got a little bit of, you got to understand, Randy, he's burned out with gospel stuff kind of thing. He's not too open to that. And so you got to be real careful, you know. You start pounding God down his throat, he's the type that's just going to tell you to just shut up, get out of my life, and leave me alone. And he'll tell you to your face. He's that kind of guy. So you got to kind of slip in little things where you can. And I was able to share, and Liz and I talked about this last night a little bit. I was just able to get a little bit in there with him, and I said, you know, I believe the Lord opened up this opportunity for us. And it's been a good thing. And I think you got a good thing going here, Randy. And if you keep working with it, developing it, and I talked to him about a few other things. You know, but he got real quiet. You know, he didn't reprove me, rebuke me. Now, I heard somebody trying to witness to him at one other time, and boy, So with certain people, you got to just kind of be careful. You got to walk real softly with some people. But our heart is to see this man come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? And the Lord dealt with me a long time ago. Don't be so quick to just talk, but let him watch your life. Just let him watch your life. Amen? So You know, so that's sometimes how you witness. It's a silent witness more than anything. But we talk about the Lord here and there, but you can just tell when he's had enough, you know. So, but the bottom line, everything we have, every opportunity you have, your talents, your abilities, the provision you have right now, I don't care if it's SSI, it's from the hand of the Lord if you're a believer. It's from the hand of the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me tidy this portion up. You see, remember, under grace, for you the believer, there's a constant resupply of all things from the hand of God. And to the believer, everything comes to us from the hand of God, which includes all natural provision, natural prosperity, and our portion that is due us. And we also see that there is a reserve daily supply for us. He said, our daily bread. It tells us just by the language that there's something reserved in heaven for you, that if you'll just ask God for it as in the form of a daily provision, God will open and dispense things to you and I that normally wouldn't come had we not prayed. How many thousands of times did you go through your day and you didn't talk to God and it was a miserable day? Sometimes you talk to God and it's a miserable day. It just the powers of darkness that be that day. And sometimes things just don't go like they should. But God has daily grace, strength, vitality. It's not always the dollar bill. It's not always, I got three tacos to eat instead of two today. It's the spiritual things that God has for you and I. If we ask, we'll receive, but we have not because we don't ask. And this is where Jesus is going, the daily supply your children need, your grandchildren need, those unsaved loved ones need. There's a daily supply. God wants to do something for them. God has purposely designed us to limit his involvement, and he's hinged it on your desire and capability to pray. Now, God is still providential. He'll still move beyond us and has to. But for the most part, the extra blessing, the extraordinary, the over and above, that usually comes from a heart that's diligently seeking him, that's communing with him, talking to him, and asking for things. Asking. Give us today our daily provision, Lord, our daily bread. Paraphrase it as daily provision. I need everything you have for me today, Lord. I need you helping me, strengthening me, being with me, enabling me, helping my mind, helping me think, help me get through this day, having the patience, the love, the mercy, the wit. You know, we can make quick decisions, you know, and it's in the will of God at times when you have to, moment by moment, make those decisions. Hallelujah. But we see this also includes the spiritual needs of our hearts and soul. Jesus would say in Matthew 4:4, he said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And really, he quoted that from Deuteronomy 8, which said that God humbled them and he suffered them the hunger and he fed them with manna, which knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, but from every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So he's saying that not only will God supply natural needs, but God wants to do something in your spirit man, in your spiritual life. You know, we don't live just by natural bread alone, but by every word that's coming from the mouth of God. And the word proceedeth there really means a continual speaking. It's not just a one-time word like a logos word that's written, there it is. It's a rhema word. It's a word that constantly is coming to you to bring new life and a quickening from the Lord, that's where it's living and it's alive. Amen? We need that. We need that today. We are to be hearing what the Lord is speaking through his word, and that's where we get our daily counsel and our daily guidance. But many have not because they ask not. We could literally paraphrase this as saying, release to us today our daily provision. Release to us, Lord, our daily provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. In the beauty of the Lord, if you missed your prayer time today, his mercies tomorrow morning when you get up are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. Learn to pray. you got the rest of your life to practice. And God will be ever patient with you. Trust Him, but talk to Him. Call on His name. Realize who He is and start asking Him. And look through this prayer as an outline. And begin praying with the help of the Lord, according to what Jesus said as an outline, is the way we ought to be talking and praying and petitioning our Father in heaven. Amen?